I'm very upset. Very, very upset. Okay, that is a big consolation, actually. Whatever.
So if there's one of the consent items that we have some questions on, it's
885. It's this update definitions on compensation and such. We think there might be a Scrivener's error in it, so Tom's checking with the person with it. I might pull it. If we haven't figured it out by the time we get to consent, I'll pull it and maybe we'll have it figured out at the end of the morning.
Okay.
I'm not sure how what's necessary to be effective. If you have you do, but I won't be here, and Dan is sitting. So you need 4 for it. So, yeah. Tom will come in and tell me. It's about whether sick leave gets added into something. We don't have a deferred compensation. I don't know how sick leave gets added into deferred compensation.
Peace and Fire basically have a possible sick leave buyout, so that's why it's in there.
Oh, okay, so it's all right. Okay. So it's all right.
Oh, it is okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
That's Peace and Fire.
All right. Is Deborah here? Oh, hi. Come on up. And is Kendall here? Do you know? It's going to be you. We're waiting for one more member of the city council. If you could sit right in the middle, that microphone works a little better. How's everything going?
Good.
Feel free to continue to talk amongst yourselves. Oh, so it just recognizes that. It's a good deal. Well, you know, while we're waiting, why don't we have, I know we're going to have 2 speakers, is that right, from who's going to address us on a very important issue. From which school again?
Sunnyside.
And I hear the kids at Sunnyside are the smartest kids in the school, in the city, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you, while we're waiting, and before we have our special presentation, why don't you all tell us your names, and that way the folks upstairs will make sure that you get on TV. I know, look around. So we'll start with you. Who's the big kid, Richard? And did I hear someone's name, Sam? Oh, you have to stand up. Well, welcome, Sam. Have you ever thought of running for mayor? You're a smart kid. Glad you're all here. We're very excited to hear a presentation from one of your fellow students. We're just waiting for a quorum to arrive. No pressure, Ty, no pressure.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do, will you? This is why Vera would get mad when people are late. I guess I have to get mad. It's 9:34. What's the weather forecast for this weekend? Oh, there he is. What's
Very
the weather
nice.
Forecast?
Very nice.
Okay, good. All right. Before we, we will go ahead and begin. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June 16th, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m., and the Portland City Council will come to order. Carla, how are you? Are you enjoying the rain?
Yes.
How are you? Can you please call the roll?
Fish. Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. This is LGBTQI Pride Month in the city of Portland, and this weekend we have our annual Pride Festival, and with us is Deborah Porter from, she's president of Pride Northwest, and before I read the proclamation, I wanted to introduce you and thank you personally for the amazing amount of hard work it takes to make the Pride Festival look so easy.
Thanks.
And how are things going?
We're ready.
You're ready?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the parade look like this year?
It's the largest we've ever had.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
How many entries?
130, 140.
Wow.
In there.
How long do you think it'll take for the parade to complete?
We haven't decided.
It's how fast the first people walk.
It's going to be a while.
Anything you'd like to say before I read the proclamation?
We just want to invite the community to come to the festival. It's a very family-friendly, busy place. Lots of entertainment, lots of activities. Large segment of the community will be there.
So it's my honor to read the following proclamation. Whereas the City of Portland is committed to diversity, social justice, equality, and mutual respect as a fundamental aspect of a healthy community, and whereas the presence and the visibility of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer community continues to enhance the quality of life in the City of Portland, and whereas the City of Portland is enriched by the contributions of the African American and Latino Hispanic communities in areas such as arts, business, and civic participation, and whereas Portland is honored to host three annual Pride celebrations, Portland Latino Gay Pride, June 2nd through the 6th, Pride Northwest, June 19th and the 20th, and whereas celebrating families' history and pride builds understanding and strengthens all communities, now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the month of June 2010 to be LGBTQ Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgendered, and Queer Pride Month in Portland, and encourage everyone to join me in this celebration and reaffirm our commitment to diversity, equality, and mutual respect in our community. Congratulations. We will proceed with the communications. Carla, can you please read item 862?
Request of Ulysses Hardiman to address council regarding meaningful communication.
Mr. Hardiman, welcome back.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning. And Ms. Fritz and Mr. Saltzman, Mr. Leonard. Boy, Mayor Adam, you've been awful busy. I get tired just keeping up with you. I'm going to tell you, I think the City of Portland can rest a lot easier now that you kind of raise your head up, as far as I'm concerned, and you got a mayor in Portland now.
Thank you.
Proud of you, and wish you well in your walk. I really enjoyed hearing a certain communication from yourself on the radio the other night, in which you're kind of going to let certain groups of people know that they're not going to let Portland be a shill for their hatred and games and all that type of thing. That's how I myself became familiar with the council. I think I was victimized by some racial profiling, and it cost me my car, my Lee Oscar harmonica, half of a book, and a bunch of more good stuff. But I mean, you know, years ago, used to have a cartoon, Old Hermit be up in the hills and just hating everything. And something's happened new in which all these type of people, they want to get in the middle of somebody where they can hate people and they can pull stuff and they can push people around and cause them problems, you know. You have one group that wanted to move into John Day. Well, there's enough of them. They could get 400 or 500 acres and live out there to themselves and hate the whole world if they want to. No, they want to live right in the middle of a bunch of more people where they can do stuff to people. So I'll be back because I'm still trying to learn how to communicate with city council. I wish I'd be able to be of some help as you do this. What I call is let people know that Portland's not going to be a shill for their little games and hatreds. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hardiman.
Anything you want to tell me?
I want to tell you thank you for coming in, and you actually do a good example of how any citizen can sign up for 3 minutes to talk to council about whatever you want to talk about, and you always have something thoughtful to tell us, so thank you very much.
Well, I'm hoping for some further rinses, conclusions and whatnot.
Thank you, Mr. Hardiman. So when you like something, unless noted by the chair, you wave your hands. the chair on occasion can allow for clapping, but it's at his discretion. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 863?
Request of Heather Cheney for students from Sunnyside Elementary School to address council regarding Furwood Lake.
Good morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Do you want to introduce yourselves again into the microphone? You got to kind of speak up loud.
My name is Elliot Martin, and I represent Sunnyside Environmental School third graders.
My name is Gavin Griswold, and I represent the Sunnyside Environmental School third graders also.
We are here on behalf of Furwood Lake at Laurelhurst Park. All year we have been studying the toxic blue-green algae in the lake. We realize the lake is being dredged to help solve the problem. However, we believe a solution that will last the longest is public education. We are asking for your help to inform the public about not feeding the ducks. Leftover bread feeds the toxic algae bloom. When it dies, it sinks to the bottom and becomes sludge. So we would ask that you educate the public about not feeding the ducks. Thank you.
Thank you. Very well done. And this one we can definitely clap too. Congratulations.
So what you've done is helped us educate the public. By getting this on cable television, you've now told the whole city that we should not be feeding the ducks.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're welcome to stay and watch more democracy happen, or if by chance, is school still in session?
Yeah.
Oh, then you can stay all day.
Some of them have a birthday party to go to.
Okay, well, that sounds like more fun. Can you please read the title for communications item number 864?
Request of Timothy Euchre to address council regarding new business for printing and distribution.
Mr. Euchre?
Euchre.
All right. That gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. I move that the City Council hold an evening hearing on August 12th for the purposes of discussing and considering the future of West Hayden Island.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain item number 865?
Accept report on the selection of a proposed developer for 8735 North Lombard Street.
It's my pleasure to introduce this item on behalf of Commissioner Dan Saltzman and myself. Commissioner Saltzman, unfortunately, is out sick today, which is too bad because he has brought this project to fruition that council is considering today. He and I have been working on this project in various assignments for a number of years. It is our opportunity using land that the city has owned for a very long time, which was once polluted brownfield land. It's our opportunity to help improve downtown St. John's. This is the also the culmination of work by the project citizen advisory team that has selected a preferred development team. And the acceptance of this report by council will kick off the development agreement negotiations. In 1976, the Portland Development Commission purchased this property when this part of Portland used to have an urban renewal district and demolished the surface structures. The community's urban renewal area status was withdrawn shortly after the purchase, so instead of developing the property, PDC leased part of the site as a parking lot for nearly 30 years. When that lease expired in 2004, PDC sought assistance from the Bureau of Environmental Services Brownfield Program to prepare the property for development. In 2006, the city removed contaminated soil and 7 underground storage tanks from the property. I remember being there that day and was surprised at how many fuel storage tanks you could actually fit under the sidewalk and very close to the adjoining property. It was a mess. The city's brownfield program conducted an extensive public process to determine the best use of the property. I think I was at 2 or 3 town halls, which were very well attended, a lot of passion in this part of the city. And we are now here with the development team, Woolley Nyanko Block Design, which has been selected by the advisory committee. I'd like to quickly thank members of the citizen committee. And if you are here, please stand. Richard Arnold, Marianne Ashbrenner, Jay Breslow, Martin Campos, Thomas Ebert, James Hayes, Michael Kohlhoff, Sharon Ray, Jim Schaller, and Michael Sellen. Thank you all for your valuable input. And I also want to thank Clark Henry, who moved back east and is no longer with BES, but his boss, who's kept things going and coached him along the way, is Marvita Redding from BES, and she'll start us off. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I'm pleased to be here this morning. Mayor Adams has given us a good background as to what took place with this property. The Environmental Services Bureau, the Brownfields Program, is particularly proud to take part in this because we have been active throughout the city over the last 8 years, and so it's a special pleasure to take a piece of property that the city owns and hopefully put it back into constructive use and something that is beneficial to the neighborhood. Our program and activities, we also have our activities there in the St. John's Cathedral Park area. So we are too are residents of the area, and many of our employees live in the area, so there's a lot of public interest in that. I particularly want to add to Clark Henry, who is not here, who spent so many hours working on this project, both during daytime and with evening meetings and doing a lot of community development. We hope this will be the first of many activities of this type that the Portland Brownfields Program will be responsible for. I have here with me today Marianne Ashenbrenner, who was acknowledged earlier, and the development team. I would like to turn the time over to Marianne Ashenbrenner so she can talk a little bit about their activities.
Welcome.
Thank you. I want to also thank the city for a lot of patience with this process. We were met for about 2.5 years, and all of us were representatives of the neighborhood, business owners, property owners, homeowners in the neighborhood. And we looked at this from every angle and came up with a really, I think, a good proposal and had 3 very good teams apply for it and selected the strongest one. And we're very, very pleased with the results.
That's great.
At this time, I'd like to introduce Gina Woolley of the team, and she'll provide just a bit of information about the project and the activities. I would also add, too, that this is the first of a number of additional developments in terms we plan to have another community meeting to introduce the developers to the community and get further input from them as we go through this process. I'll turn it over to Gina.
If I could have, if I could have you move down so we can get you in the middle mic, and if you wouldn't mind moving over around a little bit. Roseland, it's good to see you in council, Roseland. There you go.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and council members. My name is Gina Woolley, and sitting next to me is Rosalind Hill. We constitute the developers and will form a new entity. Both of us are developers in our own right and have done multiple projects in Northeast in particular. We look forward. We've worked together on small stuff, but this will be our first joint venture developing a project. I also have some other members of the development team, and I'd just like to point them out and recognize them that are here with us today. Mackenzie Pratt and Andrew Nguyen are with Block Design Development. And Tom Johnson is with Thomas Johnson Architects, and the rest of our development team that is not here today is Amy Green, who's also with Block Design Development, but will be our green consultant, design consultant, and Andrew Cullis and Dave Gunzel from R&H Cullis Construction, which is a newly formed joint venture between a majority and a minority construction company. They will maintain their own separate construction companies, but they also have a new entity. We are excited to have this opportunity to work with the city and the St. John's businesses and neighbors, residents, to create a new development that will revitalize and energize the downtown core of this historic area of the city. As you, I think all of you know, this part of the city has gotten very little attention, primarily because there aren't a lot of resources available from a development standpoint and a revitalization standpoint to help make things happen in that part of the city. And we are hoping with the expansion of the Interstate Urban Renewal Zone, and St. John's is a recommended inclusion in that expansion, that will be just another tool that will help revitalize the area. We have proposed a two-phase, 20,000-square-foot mixed-use development. It will consist of 10 commercial units on the ground floor and 9 market-rate loft units on top. In the second phase, we will also have 5 affordable housing projects that will be larger units that will accommodate families. We are phasing this because we think financially in this marketplace it's going to be easier to do this in chunks. It's going to be the banks are likely to have an appetite for a smaller scale development than a large-scale development. One of the things that we worked very hard to do in our proposal was to be very responsive to all of the community interest and investment that had already been made in defining what the community wanted to see in this development. So we will be highly sustainable in this development. We have designed the project so there is a pedestrian spine that runs through the center of the site. It's about a 14,000-square-foot site that connects to the St. John's Racquet Club. So this will provide access from the bus stop that's on Lombard right in front of our building to the St. John's Racquet Club. We are providing commercial spaces for smaller businesses, we're designing this so that businesses can get into a small commercial space and get started. And we've also proposed to work very closely with the community and the Parks Bureau to try to define a way to secure resources to develop the area that will be at the back of our site that's between our development site and the Racquet Club itself. There, right now, that's trees and dirt. So there's an opportunity for a public open space behind our development that would connect the two, the community facility and the development, and certainly provide a much better community asset for St. John's. I think that St. John's is in transition right now, just in terms of the demographics. There's been a lot of new housing built in the last decade. Families that are coming in are families with children and young professionals. Andrew Nguyen, who is one of our development team members, actually lives in one of those new developments in St. John's. And we think that the commercial revitalization, however, is lagged behind, and this project will be a way to kick off and catalyze some of the commercial revitalization in St. John's Core. There's a lot of energy in St. John's, a lot of community interest in revitalizing the commercial core, and we hope to be at the forefront of that and to help the community realize its aspirations of having a vital, energized downtown core where people can recreate and live and prosper. So having said that, we would entertain any questions that you might have.
Questions from the council?
First of all, Gina, congratulations on the selection, Rosalind.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask just about phase two and the affordable housing components. Do you currently have a roadmap for developing housing, assuming that the urban renewal district does not extend to cover this property?
Yes. I mean, we basically have a financial feasibility. We have a gap, but we have other ways of filling that gap if the urban renewal zone does not come into place in time for us to use those resources for development. That would be make it a slam dunk, essentially, because you could get all the resources that we would need in terms of gap financing in one place, but we have other options.
And that would include things like tax abatements, seeking some allocation of CDBG or things like that nature?
It would include possibly new market tax credits. It would include any kind of environmental grants, subsidies that would help us do some of the environmental features. We think there's money. We're talking about doing a showcase project for sustainability. We think there's money out there, both in the city, in city programs, state programs. We've enrolled the program already for energy trust incentives. So there are other resources that we will be seeking. What's going to happen, though, is it's going to take us some time to put the package together because we're going to have a lot of sources of financing. It's not like we're just going to a bank. One of the issues in a transitioning community like St. John's is your project doesn't, the rental rates don't support, the commercial rental rates don't support the cost of new development. And we've been very clear with the committee and with everyone that we've spoken to that there is a gap in our performance that we will need to find other resources to fill. We're going to be hopefully looking to work with the city in each of the bureaus as partners to figure out if they have resources or subsidies or anything that would help us take care of a little piece of the cost. And I know that these are hard times for the city as well, and revenue is thin and programs are being cut, but we will be talking with everybody to see what we can put together. We're hoping to have a lot of partners to get this project done.
Thank you. And my other question was about the Brownfield program more generally. Are there other projects in the pipeline like this where there are brownfields being cleaned up, which could be eligible, that could be the subject of similar public process and ultimately mixed-use development?
We currently don't have a project of that nature. This is the only project that we have that is a city-owned project or property, but we do spend a great deal of time in advisory and helping people with federal grants on other mixed-use types of properties throughout the city, and we would certainly anticipate doing more of that type of work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Is there anyone that wishes to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
All right. This is a, make sure I got this right. This is a report, so I would move acceptance of the report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll? The vote.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank the citizen panel that labored for so long to come up with this recommendation. And I will say, as the housing commissioner, I'm delighted with the team that you've selected. They have a track record in our community and deep ties. And if they can pull this, if anyone can pull together the financing, if anybody can, Gina and her team can. So congratulations. And the Housing Bureau, of course, stands ready to assist you in your creative search for the gap financing as you start, when you get ready to plan phase two. So
thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this and to take a brownfield and convert it into something which is going to not only put something back on our tax rolls but create some vitality in this part of, this, of the city is a great win. So, and thanks to BES for their leadership role in this as well.
Aye. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Congratulations. This is an excellent example of the public, private, nonprofit volunteers working together. And thank you, especially Mary Ann, for all of your work in the community and for the 2.5 years that the community put into working on what the project should look like. I particularly appreciated that it had to be scaled back. Excuse me. You went for the whole enchilada to start with the racket club as well, and when that didn't work out, then you looked at this particular piece of the project. And I especially appreciated the commentary about looking to the future and doing it in phases. I think that's a very good way to approach it. And obviously, you've not forgotten about the racket club. And this project really relates to St. John's as a community and all the it exhibits all of the community values, including cleaning up brownfields and polluted spaces and making them into something that the community values and includes commercial and affordable housing and all of the things that relate to St. John's. So thank you very much for all your work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for your work on this project and all the citizens as well. When we started, I honestly didn't know if we would get to this point. But this has been a tooth missing in downtown St. John's for, you know, 3 decades. And it's coming to fruition at a very difficult time. So this is really the end of the start of the beginning. And your message is, I think, loud and clear that this project is exactly what I think downtown St. John needs. But it's going to take some more partnership and more help. And we'll do everything we can from here on out to see that it gets built. So thank you.
Thank
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. All right. Can you please read time certain item number 866?
Summer Parks Programs.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We have a very brief presentation this morning, and I'd like to call forward Jeff Milks, who's our Southeast Zone Manager for the Parks Bureau, Sherry Manning, who's the Development Director for the Portland Parks Foundation, and Emily Hicks, who is one of my parks liaison people. And we'll be handing out, Mayor, a copy of a supplement which will be appearing in the Oregonian on Friday, which lists what we call our summer free-for-all, which is the complete program of free summer activities, that's movies, concerts, playgrounds, the whole range of activities which the Parks Bureau offers at no charge to the public. Now, the Parks Bureau has a long history of offering free summer programs. In good times, they are important. In these challenging times, they're vital because they provide families and children with healthy active and safe recreational opportunities. I want to begin by thanking the mayor and my colleagues for recognizing the vital services that the playground programs provide to our community and for restoring funding for those programs, which will allow us to operate, I understand, 30 programs, not just 23, Emily. Is that right, 30? 30 playground programs around the city, and at a number of those programs, children will also receive a federally funded healthy meal in addition to the programming. This year, we could not do these programs without the support of our private partners, and we have over 100 sponsors who have kept this free-for-all tradition alive. And I want to thank all of them, everyone from Nike and Daimler, Bank of America, all the sponsors. Many of them are listed in the document we've handed out and that will be in the newspaper on Friday. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jeff and Sherry forward, and they have a very brief presentation to make. So thank you both for your great work. And Jeff, why don't you tee us off?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Good morning. This year, our playground program will actually be taking place at 32 different sites because I'm pleased to announce we've added two more sites as a result of some recent funding. 18 of these are lunch sites, expected to provide over 75,000 free meals, including two new sites in the Outer East, those at Glenfair and at Wilkes Park. I'd like to thank the mayor and Reese Lord for helping to coordinate with the county and the Sun Schools. We've now brought the free lunch programs across the city under one collaborative umbrella. I'd like to thank Nike, our main sponsor for the Summer Playgrounds program. They are a long and generous partner to parks. I'd like to recognize the National Recreation and Park Association for awarding the remaining funding needed to both support the free lunch programs and to restore the mobile recreation program. Thanks goes to the Oregon Hunger Task Force as well for granting funds to assist with those two new sites. I'd like to thank the Oregonian for in-kind printing of our free-for-all schedule, the one that was handed out. We have over 500,000 copies, which were recently distributed at schools, and it will be an insert in this Friday's paper. Our free-for-all kickoff event is next Friday, June 25th. Everyone, you're all invited to join us at Peninsula Park for our teen idol performances, free swimming, field games, and much, much more. We are very excited to have the Portland Parks Foundation as such a strong partner. Sherry?
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. It's my pleasure to be here this morning on behalf of Portland Parks Foundation and our new director, Maura White, who could not be here today, and Portland Parks Foundation's Board of Directors. Thank you. We are here to thank you today for restoring funding to the summer playground programs. It's very important to our board and to our whole constituency. Portland Parks Foundation is a private nonprofit organization formed in 2001 to bring resources and expertise to the long-term stewardship of Portland's parks and park programs. We're very pleased to be a sponsor of the Summer Free-for-All programs. Programs that serve at-risk children are central to the work that we do at Portland Parks Foundation, and many of our board members are involved with the foundation because of the work that we do in the parks for children. It's very critical to their involvement. Since 2003, we've directed more than $1 million in grants to Portland Parks and Recreation, specifically reaching out to Portland's underserved children. We believe that the very best way to involve and ensure our long-term care and health of our parks is to encourage children to make a deeper connection with parks. It will form long-term stewardship and ensure that they are comfortable and at one with the outdoors. Finally, as a side note, we are currently, Portland Parks Foundation, in cooperation with Portland Parks and Recreation, we're a finalist for a $25,000 grant to support the mobile climbing wall and free summer lunch programs through Share Our Strength. And we encourage you to go to a website, strength.org/vote today. The finalists with the most votes by the end of this week will receive a grant for $25,000. And this We designed this program We paired the summer food program with the climbing wall program, taking it out to outer southeast neighborhoods where resources are scarce. And we are now a finalist, and all we need to do is get in enough votes to make it happen.
Could you please send me an email with the link, and I'll post it
Absolutely.
On my blog?
Thank you. So we look forward to continuing this partnership, and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Jeff and Sherry. You've both done a wonderful job. And in addition to the summer free-for-all programs, we're excited to announce that we will be providing more healthy snack options in our rec centers. Doug Brenner and other park staff have been working to make the healthy choice the easy choice for all of our customers. The park's motto is Healthy Parks, Healthy Portland, and we are committed to offering free and low-cost opportunities to all Portlanders to get active and to eat well. I look forward to attending many of the events across the city this summer. I invite my colleagues and, in fact, all of our city colleagues to join us at one or more. And I should give fair warning to anyone who's attending the movies, since I understand there will be families and children, we should warn them that there is an introductory clip welcoming people to the event and thanking them. Apparently, Parks could not get anyone who was telegenic or famous. And so, by default, I was asked to do the greeting. And I just want to put fair warning out there for anyone who's coming with young children, in case they thought that they were coming for a drama and it turns out to be a horror film. So thanks again to my colleagues for their strong support of our work. And again, as I said in my introductory comments, these kinds of programs are incredibly important in good times. They're essential in tough times. And we're very proud to be working with a city across bureaus that is seeking not to shrink but expand opportunities that are no or low cost for our people this summer, particularly families with children. So thank you both, and thanks to my colleagues.
Thank you.
I guess this is a presentation, so we won't have an agenda. So I just want to thank you, Commissioner Fish, for in these very difficult times, both for us, but especially for our citizens, our residents, that you have garnered the kind of private sector participation and sponsorship. It's truly remarkable. And being able to provide citizens free activities in their neighborhoods at a time when most household budgets are stretched to the breaking point, I just think is fantastic. So thank you, and thank your team.
Thank you, Mayor. And by the way, during the Starlight Parade, Daimler, which is now returned as our anchor sponsor for one of our programs, which is the Washington Park Summer Festival, had an award-winning float, and the float was actually a replica of Washington Park.
Hmm.
Wow.
And they had the Quadrophones, which is an all-female horn trio or something, band, that will be performing on opening night starting, I think, August 5th. And it is a testament to Daimler that they are, as a company, so committed to this, they not only are anchor sponsor and put a lot of money to restore it, but design their whole float around this much-beloved tradition here in Portland. So thank you, Mayor.
And if I might comment also, thank you, Commissioner Fish, and thank you for all of your work. And I also note the contributions of citizen volunteers who help organize the concerts in the park, and a lot of non-corporate donors who contribute to the concerts in the park in particular. And so it really is a community effort, a community recognition that, yes, we need staycations and we need things to do that are fun and wholesome in our parks. And so it's a great community effort. Thank you to the foundation and to staff and Commissioner Fish and Sari Santner.
Thank you all very much. All right, we will move on to a time certain item. Carla, can you please read the title for 867?
Accept the final report on projects related to the National Women's Health Week grant.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. And if we could hand out the reports, that would be great. This is a project that Sarah Hussein in my office initiated. As you know, I'm in charge of wellness for the City of Portland, and we also worked hard on the Healthy Kids Initiative. So Sarah was looking for grants that could help us with either of those programs to get the message out to folks about the benefits that are available through them, either through the city or through the state Healthy Kids Initiative, which, of course, is now law, and any uninsured child in Oregon can get signed up for health care. So she found a grant from the national government for National Women's Health Week, and we brainstormed about what we could do for a wellness program for the women in the city of Portland. At the same time, we were working on the Sharing Public Sidewalks issue with our Sharing Public Sidewalks Advisory Committee, and Sarah and I both came to the recognition that the people who most need help with health care in Portland, the women, are women who are living outside, who don't have access to the services that city employees or people with homes do. So Sarah put together a grant proposal, which was accepted, and this project, it's a $2,500 grant, and we wanted to tell you about it, bless you, because we are very happy with the outcome of this, and if you'd give us 10 minutes to let us tell you about it, we'd greatly appreciate it. We know that there's been an influx of people living outside and experiencing homelessness. In fact, 2008 to 2009, approximately 13,000 individuals in Portland and Multnomah County have been served by one of dozens of nonprofits that use our city's homeless management information system, including street outreach programs, emergency shelters, and transitional housing programs. Of these 13,000 people, 2,542 were women. For women living outside, basic survival is a more immediate need than thinking about preventative health care or healthy eating habits. Yet these women are also most in need of information and services that prevent as well as treat health problems and unplanned pregnancies. Part of our problem, I think, in government is that we have to take care of the emergencies, and yet we all know that spending money on preventative care is much more cost effective. So by hosting this project, we believe we have helped many Portland women take active steps to get involved in their own health care. So I now invite Sarah Hussein from my office, who managed and coordinates all aspects of this project, to discuss with you the details of the outcome and outcomes.
Hello. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good morning, Mayor, members of the council. I'd like to share with you the outcomes of the project that we did for National Women's Health Week. Basically, we held two different types of workshops. One was based on women's health education, reproductive health. The other was a nutrition education workshop. So in order to accomplish this, we partnered with eight different organizations in the Portland area. For the nutrition education workshop, we partnered with the Salvation Army Female Emergency Shelter and the Oregon Food Bank. So the workshop was taught at the Oregon Food Bank, and the purpose of it was to teach women how to shop more wisely, to use their money, how to cook healthy but not have to spend a lot of money buying their food. So the workshop was really great. It was really interactive. The women got to taste the food that the chefs made. The chefs went through a day's worth of meals, and so they got to taste the food. They went home with a recipe book guide that had different recipes that the chefs made that day, along with additional recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, desserts. They also got to go home with a bag of groceries to make pasta salad. So it was great that they got to go home with stuff to start off their healthy meals. The second workshop was the Healthy Habits for Healthy Women, and that was more of a women's health education, reproductive health workshop. That was held at Home PDX, which is an outside church gathering, Dinner and a Movie Youth Program, and Rose Haven Women's Shelter. All these programs serve low-income people or people living outside. A total of 116 women participated in this set of workshops, which was absolutely amazing. We weren't expecting that big of a number, so it was great. To help facilitate the workshops, we partnered with the Multnomah County Health Department's Community Capacitation Center, and then a physician from OHSU and a reproductive health educator taught the workshops. What we really wanted the women to come away with is the importance of pap smears in detecting cervical cancer, birth control methods, and most importantly, where women can access these services in the Portland area throughout the state at reduced costs or for free. So we didn't want to just sit there and lecture them, so we decided to go with the popular education route, which is a methodology used to, it creates an interactive environment between the participants and the teachers. So for example, for the birth control portion of the workshop, the reproductive health educator kind of had a very casual, open discussion about different birth control methods. She did a show and tell. She had every type of method that she discussed with her, and she was able to pass it around to the group, and women were able to ask any questions that they had to their specific needs. And then for the cervical cancer portion of the workshop, this was really fun. We did a skit on how cervical cancer forms. So the participants of the workshop volunteered, and they were either normal cervical cells or cancerous cells or HPV cells, and they just demonstrated the process of the HPV cells attacking the cervical cells and then becoming cancerous. So it was really cool. It was a great way for them to understand this really complex process of cancer formation. So at the Home PDX workshop, which is the one that was outside, the Oregon Adult Immunization Coalition volunteered their services, and so they brought a mobile vaccination clinic there. And so men and women were able to get vaccines if they liked. They were also there for counseling services if they didn't want a vaccine that day. They were able to offer them brochures and information about where they can get vaccines in the future. So we had the women complete evaluations for both the workshops, and the results are in the report in front of you. But really what they came away with is what we wanted them to come away with. They learned where they can get these services, what steps they can take to protect their health. 125 women total attended these workshops, and I was just impressed with the number that came, and we received a lot of positive evaluations about how valuable they thought the workshops were. And not only are they going to use this information for themselves, a lot of them said that they're going to pass this information on to their girlfriends, to their daughters. So it was great to know that we were able to do something useful and make these women, help these women feel empowered that there is something that they can do to take care of themselves and be healthy. So, yeah, thank you.
So if you turn to page 8 and then the subsequent pages, those have illustrations of who participated and what they learned, and we were very pleased with the level of participation and the fact that people did feel that it was a very worthwhile program.
Excellent.
So we have two invited speakers, Laura Langslet of the Rosehaven staff and Sarah Dollison, who uses Rosehaven services. That's, I have one person here. Thank you for coming. If you could just state your name. And
my name is Sarah Dollison Grove. This is my first time doing anything like this, so you might have to.
Thank you so much for coming.
Try to speak loudly and clearly. I tend to speak quietly. I just wanted to thank you very much, both you and Sarah, and of course acknowledge our Mayor Adams and everybody else in service to the public here. And thank you for what you did with the grant. I don't know if everybody here knows, Rosehaven is it's a day shelter, actually. It's not a 24-hour shelter, and it is only for women. It was begun by Sister Kathy Baraboom in 1993 and began Old Town for specifically the women of Old Town, and then now it moved to Northwest, which is where it's at. It's 627, I believe, Northwest 18th in the lower level of a church there. Anyway, what this did for me, the thing I attended there, I wasn't sure what I was going to be. I can write better than I can speak, so I just
doing just fine. Oh,
you're doing great.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Adams. Recognize the voice without the. Anyway,
I hear it in my sleep.
I bet.
Usually night world.
That's a good thing. Women go to those appointments all their most of their reproductive life and don't enjoy them. And so with that being said, I think you don't know all the facts because the feelings are involved. So basically what I learned there was that it's all about the cervical cancer, or it primarily should be. I also learned later, because I like to read and do research, that there's a really high, or there used to be, perhaps, when the information was recorded, there's a high false negatives with the cervical cancer pre-screening, which I would could guess that that's why they like to do it yearly. So, or I don't know, whatever the person would decide to do. So with the information that I've worked hard all my life and kind of just give a brief synopsis with feelings set aside, I became uninsured from a medical problem, the kind of things you hear about on TV, and so lost insurance. And now I'm going through a thing where they don't want to see you if you have no insurance, which is all, every day is a new day, but it's kind of a bizarre situation that can happen from things like that in America, or maybe in other countries too, but I don't know. So to make a long story short, they gave us the resources. They sent home the Safeway cards, which was really cute and wonderful, and they did try to make it fun. Yeah, so it's Rosehaven, there's never any kind of a problem there. It's always the most, I'm picky at times, and things are just right there. There's no exchange of money for anything, and that makes it a very, very special place. So we're really lucky in Portland, Oregon to have such a place, and the sister goes to my church is how, and my friends all kind of helped with certain things there, and so then I ended up there. But anyway, any more grants that can be done for this kind of thing, because everybody knows, has nieces, daughters, women, we know how those appointments. Oh, and I thought of an acronym, Your Yearly, to help remind you to get it done yearly. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about Rosehaven and about the project.
And you did great testifying.
You sure did.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. So reiterating, the organizations that helped us in this project were Home PDX, which is a church that meets outside, Rosehaven's Women's Shelter, Dinner and a Movie, the Salvation Army Women's a female emergency shelter known as SAFES, and the Oregon Food Bank. We also thank the staff from the Multnomah County Health Department Community Capacitation Center who volunteered their time to facilitate the workshops, Noelle Wiggins, Teresa Rios, and Samantha Kahn. Thanks to OHSU staff Dr. Jessica Gregg for volunteering her time, and Lisa Isabel from OHSU for being the point of contact between the city, county, and OHSU. Thank you to the Oregon Adult Immunization Coalition for volunteering for the free vaccinations and the staff who did that. Thanks to Downtown Safeway for donating food in addition to what we were able to purchase with the grant. And thanks to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Women's Health for providing the funding opportunity. And finally, thank you to all of the women who participated to make the workshops a success, and Sarah Hussein in my office.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
We accept the report.
Second. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz, thank you for the leadership that you've shown in this area. And on the question of healthy choices and promoting good health, the Parks Bureau is very eager to continue to collaborate with you on both wellness programs and ways in which we can encourage healthier eating. Thank you, Sarah, as always, for a superb presentation. I think this is, I'm keeping track, I think this is your second major presentation. So good job. And appreciate the good work. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I also want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward. I am not one for liking to participate in large parades or gatherings, but in years past, I have, in honor of my mother and sister, participated in the Walk for the Cure. And at Commissioner Fritz's urging, this year I will transform that into the Run for the Cure. And I think it's vitally important for young women and particularly women who are vulnerable to particular types of cancer, be it breast cancer, which is a genetic predisposition in families, I have unfortunately learned, and for women of certain ages who are predisposed to particular cancers to be tested regularly, to follow up regularly, which of course implies also that they have the ability to do so. And it's a travesty in this country that, as we heard from the testimony from our witness, that there are women who would do those kinds of tests but can't because they lack insurance. And as we move forward, I hope that is addressed for all as well. Aye.
Rich? Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. That was really nice. And thank you, Commissioner Fish, and all the council for your support. People at home might be wondering, why is the city government spending time on this? And the answer is because we care about all the people in the city of Portland, and we care about women who are living outside who don't have services. And we know it's cost-effective to get them this information and provide, let them know that they can have, there are resources for people with no means to get this kind of health care. So we'll post the information on my website so that others who might be interested can find out where those resources are. And again, thank you to all who participated. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thank